Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of AUP Radio on WRP. Today we're going to hear one episode of Making It with Malala as she talks about making it by herself in the City of Lights. Enjoy the show.
See me in my shoes, see me in the news, nothing's new, how are you? Feel like I might catch feel for the ladder. Jacob feels the fields in my souls, angel power, God. Father figured it out. But now I'm out of bounds, how about that? I'm in the clouds, I'm forever napping. Heaven's a place, nothing ever happens. Emmy shows his face and runs away laughing. Put a laugh track in place of all of my rapping. Can't only find placements, my tracks at Gap Kids. They click the link by accident. Here's the password to my MacBook. If I pass away, pass out my artwork. I don't wanna end up like Arthur. Damn, but I might.
Welcome to Making It with Malala. On this episode, we'll be speaking about making it by yourself. What does it mean to be at peace? What does it mean to grow within yourself? We have a very special guest, Corey, here today. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Corey, our producer.
Hello, guys. I'm no stranger to the radio. I've been here. I edit all these little things, big things, precious things.
Big things.
Big things. We are making it with Malala today, and I'm so excited to be here.
So to kick it off, we're going to have the wonderful sounds of Centerfold's Myself. You've heard the wonderful sounds of Centerfold with Patrick Marquette and Xavier Bond. Wonderful song called Myself. Now, to kick things off, I feel like this semester has been a very wonderful and beautiful journey of finding myself. Not necessarily as if I was lost in any way, but finding the person that I've always wanted to be within my career, I've found that person and I've latched onto that person and I've become that person. And so it's not necessarily a new Malala. It's the Malala that I've known myself to be and just haven't put in the work to get there. Mm. And so now I'm in the place where I'm constantly having to put in the work to show up to filming stuff, to be the producer, to turn in the homework, to have these long conversations with my mother to keep myself grounded and keep my mental health at bay.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I have, like, long periods of time of not speaking to my mother, my mental health in the trash. Mm. So, like, just having to put into work to show up to all these, like, shooting dates, creating a production book, signing on to almost everybody's project. As soon as anyone asks me, hey, dude, can you film this? Or can you do lighting for this? Or can you be the assistant director for this? Yes, 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 and yes. Just to keep myself busy, but also just knowing that this experience, this something to add to my resume, this, like, the small little moments you have in between cuts of just bonding with people that are in your industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's all work, but it's all fun, and it's all what I've always wanted to do. So, like, I'm not necessarily finding myself, but I'm just becoming the person that I should have been for a while.
Nice. Yeah, I get that. I think that's important, especially, like, if you're navigating by yourself, like, not having, like, say your mom or whoever is that person that's been kind of with you prior to when you've had to make those decisions on your own to, like, do it on your own. You know, like, for a while I was saying, like, I'm my own mother right now. Like, in the sense of, like, I have to
take care of yourself.
Yeah, like, just feed yourself and, like, just take care of yourself in that way. And obviously, like, my mom is still my mom. But it's, like, in this space and time right now, I have to step up for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's so hard. I find myself, like, I'm just a baby. Like, yeah. I can't do all this. I can't keep track of so many deadlines. I can't pay my rent on time. I can't just, like,
some things are tiring.
Make sure things are, like, in place. I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. But you gotta do what you gotta do.
Right.
And mother yourself.
Exactly. It's only until you do it that it's like, oh, I can do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I waver a lot. Like, this week has been one of those that I think you gotta find a balance when it comes to all of the responsibilities that one has. Like, I can't be super, super, this is me personally, I can't be super on top of my schoolwork and also super on top of a clean room and a great social life and a, like not everything can be at its maximum.
You gotta know your limits.
Right, exactly. There are boundaries that need to be had. And I've learned that, like, the hard way through time.
Trust me, you put certain things on the back burner and you prioritize other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely understand that because sometimes I have to put limits on, like, let's say I realize I'm not doing my homework so I can go to a concert
with a guy.
Like, that's me putting something as a priority and putting my schoolwork on the back burner.
Right.
Or knowing that I have to study on Sunday but still going out on Saturday night to go clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
Social life, putting schoolwork on the back burner.
Right.
So, I mean, you just gotta take care of yourself and realize what's actually, you know?
Yeah, like, where are your priorities, basically? Because I also don't think it's the same for everyone. Like, I think, and that's okay. I mean, us being students, like, you'd expect school to be very high up there. And I mean, if that's what you want, that's what you want for you. But I think as time goes by, too, I know a lot of people, like, overstressed about school and kind of make it a priority that's, like, toxic in that way. And, like, abandon parts of themselves or parts of their mental health there.
Their mental health or even, their diet.
Mm-hmm.
They're too busy studying or too busy trying to get their work done. They don't
deadlines.
They don't eat right.
Yeah.
And my mom has been noticing that in me now that my mom's staying with me for a little bit. And so she has this, she knew this was going to happen, but she has all these protein bars and all these pre-made foods that come in packages. You could just add water to it.
Mm.
And like all these protein-filled chilies and all these weird stuff she has. And she's like, oh, in the morning she's like, oh, have some of this, have some of that. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I see myself maintaining a better diet.
Yeah.
But it's not me. Right. I'm not taking care of myself. It's my mother mothering. It's my mother being a mom. Mm. But she's like, what did you eat today? I was just like, I think I had some chips with cheese a couple hours ago. She's like, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Here, eat this immediately. But when you're by yourself, you don't have that person, and you don't have that. You prioritize certain things. I'm not going to prioritize my diet right now. Like, I've got my scholarships to maintain.
Yeah.
I've got a GPA to maintain. If it means eating pizza, or if it means eating chips and cheese and, worrying about that on the breaks or over the weekends where I can, stock up on, maybe do some meal preps or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to be a priority for me.
That's true. Plus, I think those are the things that you don't even notice. I think I take on the whole thing of, everything affects everything. So your mom being there, and it's good to have people for you, in that sense, because maybe you wouldn't know, but you having that protein bar in the morning is, you have more energy now to do those films and to, make those deadlines.
True.
But it's all, if you never had that help, or you wouldn't know.
You really would.
Same with me, too.
Some people have been on their own for a very long time.
Yeah.
And going on with the theme of being by yourself, or myself, which is the song title by Centerfolds, I have a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Arizona from Kosovo. She has been an orphan for a long, at least a decade.
Mm.
And still to this day, I just saw her a couple weeks ago. Maybe 2 weeks ago, she came and stayed over for a little bit. One of the most driven, most inspiring people I know, because there's no option to not get it done. There's no fallback plan. There's no family to take care of you. There's no backup plans. If the worst case scenario, I'll just live with my mom for a couple months to get my money up.
Right.
Never an option. And so, watching her navigate life, watching her go from place to place, we started off in an international touring group together where she had a full scholarship to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Then she became to work for that company. And then she was able to start a master's degree program in Italy on a scholarship for that and get a student visa for that. Now she's in, I forget which country. One of those Eastern European countries, studying now to do this and that, and she gets housing stipend.
Yeah.
It's seeing her push and drive, but I also see her prioritize certain things and things that she's not prioritizing because she doesn't have that mom in the kitchen to say, hey, what are you doing? What are you eating?
Right.
But so although that's so inspiring to me, I know for a fact there's certain things that have been pushed.
Right, that she hasn't been able to, maybe a social life or just or just having that fun, carefree sort of
there's no
ability. Yeah.
And I do see that, unfortunately, with people that I hang out with or, friends of mine. Mm-hmm. I was like, what are your career goals or what's your plan? And I'll just work for my dad's company. And that's completely fine. But at the same time, your parents work so hard to build a legacy. And as their child, they're investing in you to build upon that legacy, not just take from it for the rest of your life. It might be cushiony, but you can't just, I'm currently watching my mom grow so much in her business. And I know and she's paying for my tuition, she's paying for this, she's paying so many different things. But I know it's my job to not take it with an inferiority complex, but imposter syndrome, where people are getting these things, but they don't feel like they deserve it.
Okay.
But it's because they're going through it with the mindset that this is just given to them.
Right.
Rather than this is something that you're going to work off of.
Right.
This is an investment, and in a couple of years, you'll just be building your career off of this.
Hmm. What's big in all of this is perspective and kind of, one, I think maybe you being from a city and just having a cultured background, you know the livelihoods of a lot of different kinds of people, and I think that's important. But also the fact that perspective. I think in all of that sense, it's perspective, like knowing how you are in relation to the other people here. I mean, AUP is like a tiny bubble of a so many perspectives, but also so many people who might not have to like dip out of a sort of way of looking at life.
Because they have a fallback plan.
Right.
Because they're not doing it by themselves.
Yeah. I think, but it's important. It's really important to have that. And it's not only what I have to go through, but also like what everyone else is going through right now. That's its own sort of cushion or inspiration. Yeah, I could be down right now, or I could have so much to be grateful for.
Don't even get me started on gratitude.
Yeah. We just had Thanksgiving. I did like a little thing on that, on just like gratitude and grace and stuff. But yeah.
Absolutely. But like, if anyone listening to this is struggling with an imposter syndrome, feeling like they don't understand if they don't feel like they deserve the gifts that they've been given, don't take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it as if something's being handed to you and you're just taking it so you feel like you don't deserve it. Take it with the intention of you're going to be using this and working towards something bigger and better and greater. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an investment. The universe or your parents or your grandparents or yourself has invested this time, money, whatsoever.
Love. All of that in you.
In you. And it's your job to work with it and not feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just sitting there eating chips and doing drugs or not being productive, then maybe you should be having that imposter syndrome. Then you're not being deserving. So if you feel like you're not deserving of it, then do what you have to do to feel like you deserve it. Absolutely. I feel like someone that I know is going through that right now, where he graduated school, he has a master's, and he's master's in film, so that's how we know each other. And he's feeling like, I did all this work, my parents invested all this money, I have all this knowledge, but doesn't have an outlet.
Yeah.
It's so hard to do things on your own once you're out of the bubble of school. And I'm like, sorry, but I don't have any empathy for that. It's not hard to pick up a camera and start shooting, go on Instagram, find other filmmakers, start a production company, join a production company, intern for a production company.
Mm-hmm.
If you have ideas, write them down, pursue them, do them. And even if it starts off by yourself, that's completely fine, but you can always grow.
Yeah.
And because of my perspective on that, he is able to.
Wanna try.
No, he's already started.
Yeah.
And so that's my perspective, but I'm still in the protective bubble of school.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, like, all the work that I'm putting in right now, like we're talking about growing into myself, every project that I, like, have blood, sweat, and tears for is working towards a bigger and better project. And I will be able to graduate from this college with many opportunities lined up, many projects lined up, based off of the work that I'm doing right now.
Steps.
Because this is what, like, you don't just wake up and have the opportunities. You don't just wake, like, graduate right. And, like, just magically have a job. You have to work towards it as you go. And I think what I was struggling with before I was able to step into myself was this fear of, like, I'm not doing enough. Because I wasn't doing it enough. And this fear of, like, what's going to happen in 4 semesters when I need to graduate? This was last semester I was thinking this. I was like, when I need to graduate, well, what am I supposed to do after graduation? And I was over the summer, and my stepdad's like, what are you doing? Like, you did a couple projects, but, like, what are you working towards? What's your plan after graduation? And that scared the crap out of me, because these were my own fears, and then to have somebody who loves and protects me say them as a concern of his as well.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, yeah, this is scary. This is real. Time to nut up and get it done.
Yeah.
Put in the work, put in the time.
You are listening to WRP. But I think it's easier when you are in your craft, you know? Like, you've already found that, you know? And I think from a young age, you've already known that film was your thing. But people are 30, 40, 50 doing things just because they're doing things. You know, I think a lot of people aren't, because it's hard to be motivated for something that's not even you. You know what I mean? Or not even like your thing. And people don't even realize that's not their thing. Or like it starts with that spark, but you have to have that spark for it to like, mm-hmm. like you are motivated because this is it. This is like you found that. I think I've surrounded myself with artists. And so I don't see outside of, or I do every so often. It's like, yeah, I'm in business or I'm in whatever.
History law and society.
Yeah, where it's like.
What is that?
Okay. Or not even in AUP, just in general. Like people, especially where I come from, like people just go to, like if they're in college, they have to be doing something that'll get the money or they'll have to be doing something that like sounds good. So there's like a block of like, do you like this? It's not even a, that's not a question asked.
No, it's like this
whether
is what
you
I have
like
to
what
do.
You're doing. Right.
This is what I have to do to make money. This is what right. I have to get a title to show my parents.
Right.
I have to be a doctor, lawyers. Right.
It, they make this pay wage.
The CEO.
Like, well, yeah.
But is that what you want to do?
Right. And so the spark just never comes.
And I'm so like I see it with some people in my family, and it's just so upsetting to see people. Yeah, sure, they're doing what they don't want to do because they have to make money or they have to do these things. And, like, just having them, like, watching, like, let's say my brother have to figure out what his, like, hobbies are
mm-hmm.
or, like, relationships, and just so he can feel fulfilled
mm-hmm.
in his life because he's not doing what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, no, I definitely don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being not even eight, like, as soon as I learned to read, I was able to use my DVD, my family's portable DVD player, put in movies, go in like special features, and then watch the same movie over again with the director's commentary, which is just the director speaking over the movie, like talking about certain things. And then I would watch the movie again with the captions for people that are blind. So it's just like the movie, but with an AI person telling you. And so then Deadpool walks into the room, like, just descriptive. And then you have the normal dialogue. So that way blind people can understand the films because they can't see what's going on, all they can hear.
Wow.
So I have, like, a descriptive one. And then I'll go in scene selections. I will, like, see the bloopers, the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have, like, the producers talking. Like, watching the behind the scenes was just so interesting to me because I'm like, this is what I want to do because this looks cool. But the ability to create your own world, not even like, oh, a new planet, blah blah blah, sci-fi. No, I'm talking about to create a situation with characters based off of your subconscious where you have full control over the decor, the scene, the music, the weather. Every aspect is your creation. Hiring people that you like, hiring people that are your friends
mm-hmm.
to come in and read lines that you wrote, feelings that you made up, and you can therapeutically recreate parts of your lives or things that you've always wanted to do or just fulfill different aspects that you weren't able to do in your normal life
mm-hmm.
and to create an entire situation where there's a lesson, there's aspects about history or politics, or there's aspects for society to listen to you. Something about that just amazed me as a kid. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't even a question. Like, when I was in middle school, I did a documentary on girls. And it was so good that the school had me do a documentary. Not a documentary, but do the graduation video. And for, like, a month, I went around collecting B-roll footage. And then a week before graduation, I started getting testimonials. Put it with some music. Took, like, the whole week to edit the whole thing down. And bada bing, bada boom. And, like, I just knew this is what I wanted to do this whole time. And for some reason, freshman year, and, like, parts of sophomore year, I just wasn't doing it. Like, I put out, like, maybe three little cute little videos. But I wasn't having the sound guy with me. I wasn't having, like, directing. I wasn't producing. I wasn't writing. I wasn't learning the formats. I wasn't doing any of that. Because I was prioritizing,
honestly,
other things.
At the beginning of the show, you were talking about being lost. And I don't think that's a downplay of, like, I think at this point, I see everything, not dramatically, but at extremes, kind of for a reason, because I think when we think in extremes, it's easier to be motivated to do things. And I think there are a lot of lost souls, And like, and what I mean by that is people who are just not doing what
they were supposed
they're
to do.
Meant to do.
Feeling awful, eating Pizza Hut like twice a week, like drinking at least a beer every night.
Just not listening to yourself, listening to like things that make you happy, you know?
My mom is my source of happiness. We, at one point, we didn't speak for like 2 weeks, and that was like so like hard on our relationship. I was just like, I've been busy. No the fuck you weren't. Right. You weren't busy. You were lost.
Right.
You were anxious.
Yeah.
You were living in this headspace that just wasn't you. There's no reason for you it to be so normal to go to bars after every night just to get a drink with your friends.
Yeah.
That's like something keeping it light, keeping it fun. Girl, what are you doing? I'm like, how is that like my norm? Like, I was so totally happy being like drinking with my friends after school. I'm like, girl, you got homework. You had homework to do. You had responsibilities. What were you doing?
Yeah.
And so now it's just like, oh, crap. So I'm able to maintain a social life through my industry.
Yeah.
Like, I've made so many good friends.
And maybe
with
more
people
worthwhile
that I do
sort of connections.
Films with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even so, like, my friend was asking me, like, who are your best friends? And then I'm like, oh, and I'm naming like five people from like all around the world. I'm like, yeah, Mitch is from he's from Australia. He's my best friend. I've got Elise from Brussels. I've got my friend Esther in New York. She's coming to Paris soon. And he's like, how do you maintain these friendships? I'm like, well, with Mitch, we call every single day because we're both probably autistic. And Elise, I don't even need to speak to her for months on end. As soon as I see her, it's like this. Plus, I see her once a semester. She came to New York over the summer. I went to Brussels in October. She came for spring break. Like,
right.
It is what it is. There are people that I have so much love for that I don't need to maintain an everyday constant thing with. That way I can get what I need to get done and still have friends.
That is true. That is so, I feel that. I feel that.
That's why I feel like I would thrive in a long distance relationship.
Yeah. Because
I can get everything I need to get done and have you right there. But if I'm, like, going on dates constantly and not getting my homework done, maybe that's a problem.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Especially if, like, you're so in one mode, like, it could cause issues. I feel that.
Yeah, like, I had a French project due on Monday, and I didn't know the details of it. I just know I had to get this project done. So Sunday night, I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to sit down and get this project done. Right? I get surprise concert tickets from my petit ami, my little friend. And so, obviously, I'm just not gonna F the homework. What? So then I go to this concert, have the most amazing, beautiful time. I bonded so well. I saw, like, one of my very favorite artists, and then an artist I listened to when I was struggling, when I was feeling alone in quarantine in 2020. And so, and then he's playing my favorite song as the encore that I wasn't expecting him to play at all because it's not a popular song. And it's, like, came out in 2009, like, not on your tour
list. Wait, which song?
The Funeral by Kid Cudi.
I gotta...
It's, like, it samples a song I swore I was gonna walk down the aisle to when I was, like, 10. I was like, oh, my God, I love this song. And then Kid Cudi remixed it. I was like, oh, my God, this is great. And then I forgot about both songs completely. During quarantine, I heard it again. I was just like,
yeah,
there it is.
Got back.
And so then I've been obsessed with it. Been listening to it. I shared that song with my little friend. And then we were, like, watching the Kid Cudi movie. Like, I'm bonding. Where I'm like, and then, boom, I'm like, we go to the concert. And it's, like, amazing. He leaves. He leaves the stage. He comes back for the encore. Starts playing my song. Oh, my God. This is great. I get home around, like, 12:30 at night, feeling loved, feeling great, shower, go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to French class. It's not that it was a homework project. It was a presentation. And everybody's doing their presentation, and I don't have one because I was too busy bonding and feeling in love.
Listen, though, I wouldn't... That's not a regret for me. But how did it go, though? How did the class go? What did you do?
My name starts with a W, so I was on the bottom of the list, and they didn't have enough time.
Perfect.
I know, it's so perfect.
Listen, that's exactly what I mean.
But, like, the project itself got turned in late, so.
Okay. Well,
but it is what it is.
Yeah, I think, because
like, I'm the not universe trying sets to, you up sometimes.
Right, right. And I'm not trying to...
Like, one super project versus a lifetime of a memory of seeing Kid Cudi live. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, forget this French project.
Yeah.
No, this guy, I usually wear heels. Mm. And so whenever I'm not wearing heels, I notice how, like, ridiculously tall he is. I'm like, what is going on here? And then I realize, oh, yeah, I usually wear heels.
Mm.
But it's not in, like, intimidating... kind of relationship. Like, I swore I loved, like, guys that are big and muscular and this and that and blah blah blah. I realized I was just wanting someone to feel protected with.
Yeah.
And if I can get that from someone who's just chill and nice and literally takes care of me, like, when at the beginning it was just him, like, in my space, on my turf, in my territory, and then one day we met, not in my neighborhood but in the Marais, and I got to interact with him in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you're like a dude. You're a man. Like, he's taking my bag and then walking the side of the street, like, carrying stuff for me. And he's like, just, oh, I just want to protect you. I'm just like, oh, you said that out loud? I don't even have to feel protected by you. You, like, want to protect me? Okay. Interesting. Whatever. Then we go thrifting, and he picks out stuff out for me, and then he pays for everything. I was like, okay. Interesting. Just to have that is just very interesting.
Yeah. No, I feel that. I feel that. It feels good. Like, to, I don't know. I think you get so used to doing things on your own. Mm-hmm. It feels really, really good to, like, have someone there. Even in the smallest things. Like, when Zaire was here, I'd be editing a video, and he'd, like, come and bring me lunch or something. Or, like, that just tiny things that I'm like, wow. That, like, I could cry right now. Because, like, just...
And I hate... like, having this contrast of, like, not, this isn't the bare minimum. This is a little bit over the bare minimum. Like, having a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the contrast of realizing the bull snapples that I put up with. That's not even the bare minimum, but straight up disrespectful.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, it's, like, seeing that I accepted that and realizing, hey, this isn't my fault. It's the fact that every man in my life up until this point has done nothing but take and take and take from me, starting from my own father, that accepting something small was not necessarily hard for me. It's just, like, surprising.
Yeah.
I remember he bought coffee once, and I was just like, oh, it's €2, Malala. Were you impressed? Because in so many aspects, men have done nothing but take and take and take from me. So it's just like,
Yeah. So used to it. To, like, I think in that way, too, it's, like, they set your standards and then also set the way in which you navigate the world on your own. Like, I feel like I, and my mom, too, like, is just so self-sufficient.
Super hyper-independent.
Like, hyper-independent.
As a...
Hyper-independent.
Like, I don't need nothing.
That's, like, a culture, though. It's, like, of women who are just, like, I... don't need you, so don't, like...
Don't do nothing for me.
My mom
had that while she was married because my father was so financially abusive.
Mm-hmm.
So he's taking and taking and taking. So I'm like, oh, I can do it on my own. It's more like I have to do it on my own.
Right.
And this is what it is. But my mom has dealt with that for her whole life. So it's like men have done nothing but take and take and take from my mom. So she gets with someone who feels comfortable, feels like normal. That's what the norm is, so she doesn't see anything wrong with that, right? And so then having my parents divorce, watch my mom just do it on her own, strong, independent Black woman, and then her remarrying and not having to be a strong, independent Black woman. She could just be a Black woman. She could just be herself.
Mm-hmm.
And having someone constantly take care of her, constantly nurture her, and constantly nurture me adjacent. I remember I used to get these little tiny protein drinks. On my way to ballet, I would, like, count my quarters, and then my dad would pick me up and take me to ballet. You're my dad. Why weren't you just buying the drink for me?
Yeah.
I remember one time my stepdad just comes home with, like, two cases of this drink for no reason. Yeah. He's like, oh, you liked it. Let's get it.
Right.
For no reason. It's just so normal
for
him. And so, like, having someone to, like, just nurture the crap out of my mom and seeing her... in a place to receive gifts from the universe and then receive things through
but
these people.
These things are taught, you know? Like, it's
Absolutely.
Like, I think both of us saw both sides, because, like, now my mom is great and living great. But at the same time, like, it was just me and her for a while. And I think in me looking for people, it's like there's no, where is the level of where I should be looking? You know what I mean? Like, I think we're taught to act in the way that we act. And
yeah, absolutely.
Things are produced down as we go.
Mm-hmm. It's so unfortunate, but, like, mm-hmm. the standards are male figures might set or whatever we feel is the norm. I keep on, like, I feel like the universe teaches you lessons, and they keep on teaching lessons until you learn it. And, like, I always speak about this, like, being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful that I was by myself up my whole life. Like, I didn't grow up in a relationship. Like, I didn't date as a teenager. And if I did, I would have never known who I was outside of a relationship. It's, like, another factor to worry about within your day-to-day life. And being an adult in itself is already hard. Mm-hmm. I don't want someone else's baggage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to figure out who I am while I'm also in this duo with somebody. So, like, I would agree. Like, I've never felt like there's been a void that I have to fill, like, romantically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had a boyfriend when I was, like, 16, and then now that I'm, like, let's say I turn 19 and we break up, that's such pivotal years in your life. Those are monumental, like, growing up years.
Self-discovery.
Self-discovery. That's the word.
Yeah.
And you just discover who you are in a relationship. Like, you don't, you know? So then now I have this void for, like, the rest of my adulthood.
Right.
Not knowing, like, oh, looking for someone to marry now. But
I've
never had it. I've never wanted it. There's never been a void. The only void in myself is missing my father. Just kidding. You're an asshole. Sorry, Steven. Oh, I take that back. No, I don't. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take it back.
Okay. You're like...
It took me a second. I'm like, see...
Yeah.
I feel I need to apologize, but no. You suck. Sorry.
Listen. Exclamation point.
Exclamation point.
The one, like, serious relationship before the one I'm in now was my senior year of high school up until, like, second semester of college. But that was just so weird. It was, like, it was a weird thing. But even that being so late in my, like, senior year of high school, like, and second semester senior year, so January on.
Mm.
But then quarantine. And quarantine relationships?
That's...
Were what? Its own sort of...
Situationship intense. You have nothing to do but talk to this person.
I mean, I wasn't living with him.
But, like, no, like, over text.
But, yeah. And, like, hanging out, no one could do anything. So it's, like, it's just you. And I have taken up the philosophy that it's like, if it's not a goal or if it's not a W, it's a lesson, like L for lesson, honestly.
Yeah. No L's, just lessons.
Just lessons, seriously, because that relationship showed me so much more about myself than I could know. Like, I had such a huge savior complex.
Oh, no.
Such
I'll never
a huge,
save no one.
Yeah, no, that was, like, my biggest thing. It's, like, you are hurting, and I need to come and help
Girl.
You. Yeah. And, like, he abused that crazy.
Are,
like,
you a nurse?
Listen.
Like, girl.
Listen. Mm-hmm. I think, but then it's, like, it goes into, like, even me growing up. Like, I had little cousins that I was, like, only a year or two older than, but it's, like, I am in charge of you guys. Like, I have to do this. And just... Nurturing in general, like, I felt like I've been bred up to be a nurturer of sorts. And in relationships, that could easily turn toxic when it's not reciprocated, when it's not, like, healthy. And, like, when he took such a victim angle of his whole life, like, his whole life was just everyone is against him and his world is just so hard.
Yeah.
So
I know
people. Right. And then it becomes attachment. And I think that's the issue with kind of what you're talking about. Like, if you're growing up so long with someone, it's like our lives are attached. So we don't want to leave because we're so attached, but not because it's love per se.
Yeah, that's why I never make, like, future plans, or, like, I'm never, like, a mistake that I made was like loving someone for their potential or liking someone for the potential or, like, liking what I could get or, like, because I saw a future with, like, someone so toxic, and then they show you the really you, you know?
Yeah.
So something that I realized, I'm like, oh no, just enjoy the moment. Do not make any future plans. Yeah. Do not expect to have this person in the future.
No expectations.
Just enjoy what you're enjoying. Don't. Mm.
You are listening to AUP Radio on WRP. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, heavy on that. Because expectations are like...
Because you hold on to something, these false feelings of you this don't future know. You have with somebody that you made up in your head, baby girl.
Yeah. And I think that's a safety thing, too. Like, I think... I don't want to make this a gendered thing, but I've had these conversations more with women than with men. Like... in terms of, like, looking towards the future or, like, wanting something safe. So it's, like, I know that in the future I am. This is, yeah, like, a safety precaution net sort of thing. Like, at least I'm in a relationship.
Nope.
But it's, like, one or the other. It's either I'm, like, it's only me and I am. This is me personally. It's, like, I'm a boss bitch. I don't even care.
Yeah, but the theme of this episode is myself. You just gotta talk about yourself.
So it's either I'm that. It's like no one in this world gets me. It's just me. Or it's like I don't know. Want to feel safe, or at least in a sort of not as alone. You know.
Yeah.
But then it's like, what does alone even mean?
I'm like, I'm so okay with being by myself. And I'm also so okay with being with my current boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not planning anything for the future. I'm not looking to, like, say, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Like, even, like, him, he surprised me with these Kid Cudi tickets as, like, a Christmas gift. Mm. I'm like, that's like a month away.
Right.
You thought we were going to make it to Christmas?
Stay on your toes.
Like, honestly, I'm not like I'm expecting anything to go bad, but, like, I can refuse to let myself look into the future and make that mistake again.
Okay, there's levels to that, though, because on one side, I'm like, yes, secondly, but on the other side, I'm like, is that a trust thing? Like,
yeah, I can't be...
Is that just a trust issue?
I can't, like, love so fully and wholly if in the back of my head I'm thinking, I can live without you. Or this or
yeah,
that.
Like, so you can't, like...
You can't, yeah.
You can't have both of those. Plus, I think, like we were talking about, it's an investment. Like, your parents invest in you. If you're in a relationship, that's also an investment, depending on how much, you know what I mean? No, it is.
Honestly, it is, because...
It literally is.
Like, I was just thinking about, like, what am I bringing to the table with this? Because I'm, like, in this, I'm receiving a lot. Like, I'm getting a lot of affection.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a lot of healing. I'm getting a lot of love, and then he pays for everything, and then he surprised me with this, and then he buys the food.
But then don't make it transactional, because that fucks it up.
Listen,
too.
So I'm just thinking, I'm like, I feel so happy and safe and warm and protected by him. What is he getting it? And so I started thinking, what am I doing? I'm like, oh, obviously, I'm like finding job opportunities for him. I bring him onto the sets of my films, and he can add that to his resume as well. Like, when we're together, I make him feel more stronger, like certain things like that. I'm like, no, and these are things that he's told me.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, so I'm not, I'm like, what am I? I'm like, my company just is enough, you know? Just.
Yeah.
So I was just like thinking, like, what am I bringing to the table? I'm like, oh, those are the things. And I'm like, I'm not seeing it. And I doubt he's like, him paying for something, he's probably not even caring about. He doesn't see it as a big deal. I see it as a big deal. He does not care. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But like having our coffee dates where we just talk about films or talk about future films that we're gonna do, it's like, that is an investment.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Yeah. And I think something like that, depending on what you want with him, I think that's something you could think about now, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, not even in a huge scale of that, but that's something always to have a conversation about, too. Like, depending on whatever you want, like, I don't know, this is just what I've taken up with Zaire, at least. Like, it's like, anything that's on my mind, I'd rather you know it, or it's just gonna eat at me. You know? And that's like how it goes.
I'm not like that, but he's like that. Mm-hmm. Like, before we even met, we were just talking. He's like, oh, I enjoy talking with you, but just so you know, I'm not looking for anything monogamous. I'm not looking for this. I'm not looking for that. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, first of all, I don't even, I'm like, I don't know you. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I'm like, weirdo. Like, I don't, what makes you think I want to date you? I'm so confused. But he was just being, and I think I had a little bit of ego with him. Like, who does he think he is?
Yeah.
Telling me this. Like, I don't even, like, you know, but no, he was just being honest.
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe the second time we hung out, he's like, oh, this feels like something important that we need to talk about, but are you seeing any other people? I'm just like, I'm not even seeing you. What are you talking about? He's like, because I'm not seeing any people, and I kind of don't want to see other people. You can do what you want. We're just letting you know that you're, like, my... I really like you. I'm just going to stick with you. I'm just like, okay. And then he's just super... duper honest,
like open communication. That's important.
At this time, in open communication, it's like he's just not here to deceive me.
Yeah.
Like before, when I didn't want to go on any dates with him, I didn't want to go on any dates, on like romantic dates, if we were just gonna do things.
Yeah.
I'm like, why do that if we're just gonna like, why get feelings involved if we're just gonna, you know? Mm-hmm. I would hate, like, some people say, oh, that's easy, or that's this and that. I'm like, I would rather a guy be upfront and honest. Like, he wants a hookup, then to take me on a romantic date to get me to, like, convince me for a hookup.
Yeah.
Like, to do things romantically to make you, like, do it under the pretense of, like, oh, this is going to be my boyfriend, this is going to be a relationship, so I'm going to do this with him. Okay. I'd rather just be like, hey, I like you, you like me, bada bing, bada boom, handle your business. But this turned into something else. But I was like, I'm not going to go on a date with you if you just want to hook up. I'm not gonna waste my time. Not like, oh, it's just that I don't want to put any feelings involved or get romantically attached to someone who just wants to hook up. So him just being super duper honest with me, or just like not deceiving, was very attractive to me. I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just always super duper honest and whatever. And so then I scared him by accident, because I'm never honest. I'm always, whenever I say I like him, I was like, a little bit. I'm mm-hmm. like, I always roll my eyes and suck my teeth, and he mm-hmm. knows it's just a fright. But like, we're at this weird museum gallery thing that we found in some back alley. We're just shooting stuff, and I saw it. I'm like, oh, let's go in. Weirdest place, weirdest exhibit. Anyway, but we're standing there, and it's like, feels like another world. So I decided to tell him, I was like, hey, I need to talk to you. And he's like, what? I was like, sometimes when I'm with you, he's like, what?
Oh, no.
I'm like, no, no, no. Sometimes when I'm with you, I feel like I'm not in Paris anymore, and I'm not.
Yeah. Wait, I know what
you're talking about. I'm not in New York. I'm not anywhere.
You're in your own space. It's just you two.
It's not even... Yes, it's that. Yeah. But it's also this other world that I've wanted to be in. Like, when I watch movies, I see, oh, that's another world I would love to be in. I'm sitting here on the second floor of this weird art museum with white walls and a gallery. All you see is the clouds. There's no landscapes to identify where we are in the world. And we're looking at this weird exhibit. I'm looking at you. I'm just like... Sometimes I feel like, right? And so I'm explaining that to him, and he's just like, sigh of relief. He's like, you know, I agree. And his English isn't that good. So he's like, sometimes, well, most times I feel like when I'm with you, it's like a movie. He's like, think about when I asked you to be my girlfriend.
Wait.
I was like, you remember that? He's like, how could I forget? And it was like raining. It was like maybe like, around 8, like, not even, like, around 7 p.m., and it's raining super hard. We had just left this lecture, and neither of us had umbrellas, and so we're standing by the Eiffel Tower. We're, like, running to my rehearsal, because he's walking my rehearsal, because he's a nice guy,
mm-hmm.
and then we kept on stopping to get under, like
mm-hmm. to scaffold,
and then we just make out, because it's, like, funny, because it's, like, okay, we have to stop, and then we would make out, and it's, like...
That is so cute.
But then we get in front of my school... That we're walking towards my school, and we see the Eiffel Tower, and so then we stop again, and he's like, I'm like, oh, I'm like, you can't go into my school. And they're like, why? I'm like, because you're just some random stranger. And they're like, you're like, no, I'm not. So I'm like, okay, let's say Ron's my friend. What am I supposed to say? Like, oh, this is this dude? He's like, well, you could say I'm your boyfriend. I was like, you're not my boyfriend. And he's like, I'm not. I'm like, if you wanted to be my boyfriend, you would have asked. So then he got down on one knee.
Oh my god!
In the pouring rain with the Eiffel Tower. I was like, Malala, will you be my girlfriend? I'm like, I'll think about it. So then we like kissed, and then I went upstairs. And then that's that. He's like, so then he recounted it.
Yeah.
And he always mixes it up. He said, like, he says, like, oh, I said, oh, of course. No, I didn't. I'm from New York. I know I said, I'll think about it. But that was, like, a good memory of mine. I didn't think it meant anything to him, because it was, like, so quick. He's like, he says, like, oh, sometimes feels like we're in a movie. I'm just like, I'm glad you feel like that, because that's how I feel. But it's just such open communication, because any other person be like, oh, I can't let them know how much I like them, because then they're going to be all like this, and then there's power dynamics.
Listen,
no,
oh
everybody
God.
Just mind your business.
Yes. Bro, on that same note, I was literally just...
Everybody's worried about these power dynamics. Power.
It's all a game for everyone else.
Vibe.
No,
but
literally.
It's vibe
you
if
just
they don't
feel
have
it.
That open communication.
That's what but also you wouldn't want to have that open communication with someone you don't want to invest in. With someone you don't feel that towards. And I've been feeling this and peeping it so much. Everyone is just looking at people that they don't want.
Corey just enlightened me so hard. Oh my God. They don't do that with people that they want.
Like, if you feel it, it's not even a question.
Oh
you
God.
Would put in the work in and it wouldn't feel like work. I literally have been just thinking about this.
Oh my God.
Like,
because everyone's worried about, oh, who likes this person more? Because
right.
you don't even like
right.
them.
Right, right. And that's what adds all the
Corey,
jealousy.
Dory,
that's what adds
Dory.
All the...
oh my God.
All the bad shit comes from that.
Oh
like,
my.
Everything else spurs
all
out of that.
All the deception.
You're just not with who you want to be with.
You wouldn't deceive someone you actually liked.
Or love, or have feelings for, like, real feelings. If it's real, that's the thing.
Oh
if it's real.
The thing is, it was real from day one, because he just was up front. Right, I was like,
if
oh, I like
real.
That. So then,
exactly, and
he
it's
didn't
a
have
feeling.
To play games for me to invite him over. I'm like, oh, just come on, let's watch a movie.
Exactly, and the trust was already there for him
because,
to come to your house
because he was on.
Exactly,
no one goes to my house.
Exactly. I know you're particular about.
Some of my closest friends have not even been to
I know.
My house. Invited him to my home because I trusted it and he was open and honest.
No,
and
I know.
Second
Bro.
Hangout, he was like, I like you, you like me, bada bing, bada boom,
yeah.
whatever. And so then, like that. Like, yesterday, when we were having this conversation about, like, other worlds and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I have so much to say on that. Also.
Just him, like, remembering that moment. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I thought it was big for me. I don't know it was big for him.
Yeah.
But he felt like it was a movie, too. And that just, like,
y'all
warms
are sharing
my heart.
Yeah. No, seriously, bro. I've, like, when Sayre was here, it sucks. That's why I think this week has been so hard. Because it's, like, I'm shot out of, like...
That.
A dimension like and now I'm like in cold harsh reality of whatever
dang.
This shit is
dang
yeah but it was like we were at different Airbnbs in different weeks and like one the first night that we saw each other again I heard like a seagull outside it's in the 20th arrondissement and I heard a seagull and I was like and we were both like every place we went to, it felt like it was just that space. And outside was like I was like, maybe the beach is outside. Maybe like it's like.
You never know.
Like a floating place
it's
in between.
Real.
Like outside. Like we are in our own.
Yeah.
It's just we are in our own space.
It's
and real. Then even going out in real life, it's like. It's just.
We're
me,
not in
me,
Paris.
You.
We're in Budapest.
Yeah.
We are in Denmark.
Or like
we're
that
in-
just doesn't matter.
Doesn't.
Like those places don't matter and the more I talk about like real feelings the more cheesy everything sounds but it's real like it's literal
yeah.
real like it's like
never experienced anything like this in my life
yeah bro feel it
ever.
Feel it all
but that whole thing about deception I'm like oh my God
yeah.
like I used to be the queen of mind games when it comes to guys because I thought it was funny
yeah
like I would literally I would block and unblock guys because it was funny
mm-hmm.
it was like a game and they would have to text me or email me
mm-hmm.
or like all these weird games I would play. I'm like,
yeah.
oh, it's because I don't like them. I was, like, liking the attention or liking
yeah.
the physique or just not even knowing them.
Or
I'm
liking
like,
what it looked like to other people.
Yes,
or, like, that's huge.
No, like, mind games. And,
yeah.
like, the disrespect I received, it's because they didn't like me.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
It's like, why would they do that? Because they don't like you, girl.
Yeah. It's not real.
Durr.
It's not real. It's,
that
that's
so
what
true.
We need to spread. All these people
so
in
true.
Relationship issues are like, it's like if you wanted it to work, it will work.
Like, you don't have commitment issues. You just haven't wanted to commit to anyone.
Yeah.
You're
no,
not
literally.
Afraid of it. You just don't like them.
You don't have trust issues. You don't trust the people you're around.
Right. Interesting. It's like, I just have a hard time trusting people. No. Everyone around you don't trust me.
Or it's like, I mean, yeah. Majority of the time, like, what... And it's also, like, what constitutes your level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I would say I had trust issues, but it's, like, you have to get to a very high level of, like, honesty with me for me
mm-hmm.
to trust you,
right.
I think. Like, people who just aren't honest with themselves or honest in general. Like, it's like, I don't know.
Like, girl, no. Like, I would also feel like I need to be, like, so pretty. Mm. So this or that. Like, I always felt the need to be this or be this or just, you know. Mm-hmm. Just not even to be wanted, just so they wouldn't like me or get the ick. Now I'm with somebody who takes the ugliest photos of me that I've ever seen. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're so cute. Right? I'm gonna beat you. Delete that immediately. You can't have that on your phone. Aww. What?
Right? But, changes everything.
But it's okay because they don't see it as, like I take a bad picture of him. I don't see it as ugly. I'm just like, oh, that's funny.
Right.
So I'm like, oh.
Just looks don't mean as
they're
much.
They're seeing that with me. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like, I can trust that he's not on his phone like, ew, this chick ugly. No, he knows he took a bad picture and he thinks it's funny.
Oh, that is so cute. On that same note, I think you found him because you were looking for him. Like, realness. And you were looking for real, like,
someone feelings. Real.
Yeah, because I think a lot of the time, I was talking to people too that it's like, I'll just never find anyone. Or like, I'm never gonna, like, whatever. But it's like, you're not looking for what you... You're looking for something that you don't want.
I think before I was looking for, like, a relationship. And then once I realized, no, I'm okay being by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not looking for anything.
Then it became fun.
Once it became real with myself, my soul or my energy started seeking someone who was also.
Right. And then aligning. Like, it's like you guys are helping each other. It's a reciprocal thing. Like, you are here when you need to be. He came when he needed to be.
We're gonna give it a rest. Thank you so much for listening in. Thank you so much for following us on our journey of making you with Malala. And yes, you gotta figure out by yourself, and you have to understand yourself, but you don't always gotta do it alone, which is a song by Kid Cudi. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your time here on planet Earth.
Yes.
I'm rambling.
See you guys soon. Peace.
Driving too fast. Okay, I ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Grandma used to tell me your boy is driving too fast. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Say, nigga, please, niggas bleed, niggas blow trees, niggas live in sin, so you can drown me in. Jesus, Jesus, food stamps and welfare keep black men on his knees.
Why is it so that the world doesn't know that all my brothers kind of slow in the water?
My grandma used to tell me your boy is driving too fast.
Out of my space, told my daddy I'm a check a northern star, riding in a foreign car. Crack a trip, I love his head, my pimple scars are medicine. I'm from the south, where slick ass mouth don't get defensive. Move too fast, black the pants. Grandmommy, please understand, I'ma cook you grease the pan. When I pop off feast with fam like Easter, damn,
my grandma used to tell me, grandma, your boy's driving too fast.
Your girl driving too fast.
Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Grandma used to tell me, your boy is driving too fast. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open. Ghost ride the whip with the door wide open.
You are listening to WRP.